Welcome to another episode of Maltby Towers. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, are the best people on the planet, Anonymous, Alex, and Jenna. How are y'all?
Yeah.
And because we watched a famous horse girl Viggo Mortensen movie, we brought basically the only person that should be allowed to talk about Viggo Mortensen. Josh! What's going on, Josh? How are you, bud?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Before we get to talking about Hidalgo, why don't you tell people where they would recognize your voice from?
They might recognize my voice from our narrative play podcast, Quid Pro Roll, where I play Solinar Vacus, half-elf rogue. They might also recognize my voice from the Goblins and Growlers podcast, which is a TTRPG and adjacent news podcast where Brandon and I talk about a variety of TTRPG topics up to and including Wizards of the Coast's fourth quarter earning projections sometimes, which, let me tell you, is significantly more interesting than it sounds.
I love the Goblins and Growlers podcast. Because it's a neat place for me to find what sound like really fun games to play.
We stumble upon some incredible indie titles every now and then.
Yeah, and it's not a world that I typically live in, so it's my gateway to finding fun stuff to do.
I appreciate that. Anytime I am hunting for the top tier Horse Girls content, I turn to the Horse Girls podcast.
Well, I'm glad to know that we can provide each other services in equal measure. All right, so Hidalgo. Had you ever seen Hidalgo before?
I had never seen Hidalgo before. This is my first time viewing Hidalgo. Fun story for your audience. Jenna was like, hey, do you want to come on our show and watch and talk about Hidalgo? And I was like, hell yeah. And then literally day of recording, I send her a message to be like, hey, so Hidalgo, what are we watching it on? Like, are y'all going to stream it and I watch it over like Zoom or something? Or do I need to grab my own copy? Like, what am I doing with that? And Jenna's like, ooh, you were supposed to watch Hidalgo before coming on the show on your own. And I should have said something about that.
Little peek behind the curtain of how organized we are here at the Horse Girls podcast.
Look, we are all busy adults with full-time jobs and many other responsibilities outside of our various shows, which last I checked, each of you is on like three separate shows. So
yeah.
Things get a little muddy with details sometimes. The good news is I work in IT, so what I did was I downloaded Hidalgo on my phone using YouTube, and I was just watching it like throughout the course of the day. I'm sure I missed some little details, but I'm pretty fresh on the Hidalgo watch train.
So I will tell you that until I watched Hidalgo, I was convinced that Hidalgo was on the level of Dances with Wolves in terms of action in the movie and speed of the, like, I just thought it was going to be really, really slow.
Okay.
Really, really slow. And then I watched it and I said, this is a spiritual Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I had completely misunderstood the pace of that movie.
Complete with one scene that is, honestly, it's got to be an Indiana Jones callback. There's nothing else it could be. We can get into that a little bit later. But
We can.
In a world where one man and his horse are up against unattainable odds, Frank Hopkins is a world-class long-distance racer. he goes up against some punk dandy and ends up knocking him out at a bar for insulting Hidalgo after absolutely crushing him in a long-distance race. Frank is then given orders to deliver the orders at Wounded Knee, where a bunch of Native Americans get disarmed, and in the process of disarming, a shot is fired and many die. Frank ends up working at a Wild West show depicting the U.S. government as good guys and Native Americans as bad guys. A Bedouin sheik sends some guy to be like, hey, you can't advertise that you are the fastest racers in the world because you definitely can't beat our horses because our horses are, like, really fast. Frank and the other Wild West entertainers end up pooling their money to be like, we will show you how fast this horse really is. At which point, they travel across the ocean on a literally massive ocean liner, where Hidalgo gets bullied by a bunch of sailors for no apparent reason, and Frank ends up drinking gin on ice with some rich guy who's literally so horny for ice for no reason. Once they arrive across the seas, Frank, having met a woman on the ocean liner who owns one of the horses in the race, she explains to him the importance of proper breeding, because Hidalgo is a wild Mustang horse. Arriving in... What country did they arrive in? I'm struggling now. Hold on. What country was that? Was that like... It's not Kurdistan. I know that. I know they travel across Iraq as part of the race. I remember that much. I'm really... The geography is really driving me crazy here. Anyway, they arrive in this country, and the sheik, that is the sheik of sheiks in this country, the sheik and his lowly daughter are introduced. The daughter would like to ride the sheik's prize horse in the race, but her father says no. That would be a disgrace on the family name. Frank gets a goat herder as a squire, and the goat herder makes it very clear that not only does he not want to be there, he's pretty sure Frank's going to die trying to attempt this race. After which, Frank gets a little bit of guidance on what this race will entail. The goat herder prepares him for traveling across a really, really hot, really, really dry desert where there's a lot of very, very dangerous natural formations such as quicksand. He also tells Frank that he needs to not hang out with any gin, which is weird because Frank was just drinking gin back on the ocean liner. Frank gains his way into the race, begins a little bit slower than some of the other racers because he knows it's all for show. As they get on down the road, people and horses die because it is real dang hot and dry. At a waypoint, the sheik's daughter sneaks into Frank's tent to give him race secrets. They get caught, and the sheik is like, hey, why were you making out with my daughter? And his daughter is like, no, that's not what happened. And Frank's like, hey man, it's totally chill. I wasn't making out with your daughter. And the sheik goes, well, I can't take your word for it, so I'm going to cut off both of your testicles. At which point Frank is like, let's talk about Buffalo Bill. And the sheik is like, let me take a seat. Please go on. Once Frank manages to distract the sheik long enough, a bunch of raiders show up in the camp to kill a bunch of people and to steal the sheik's prized horse, Al-Hattar. The raiders also kidnap the sheik's... They don't get the horse. They try to get the horse. They don't get the horse. They get the sheik's daughter. That's what happens. Yeah. They get the sheik's daughter, at which point they send a ransom note that they want Al-Hattar, which is the sheik's prized Arabian horse, and that if they don't get the horse, they're going to kill the sheik's daughter. The sheik gives Frank one chance, one opportunity. He cannot miss his shot. He has to go and rescue the sheik's daughter, or else. So there's like this super sick action sequence where they do the exchange, but then like the horse isn't actually the horse, and then there's a bunch of guys that have guns, and then there's some other guys that have swords instead of guns, because I guess there's not a lot of guns here, and so they're like running around and shooting at each other and throwing spears and swinging swords, and it's crazy. It's amazing. And a bunch of people die. Frank gets the daughter and his horse back to the camp without anyone being injured, except for the daughter's sworn bodyguard, who she's so sad about dying. Guys, she's so sad. Ugh. For some reason at this point, the daughter's like, I want you to see my face, even though that's supposed to be not a thing we do in my culture. And Frank's like, I'm sure that'll be fine and not lead to another situation where some guy wants to chop off my balls. I can't explain that scene. That doesn't make any sense to me. They get the daughter back. They still have the prized horse. They get back into the race. Things are getting heated. It turns out that really rich horse breeder lady wants to bribe Frank to not race. And he goes, I'll think about it. And then he decides, no, I'm winning this race. And then as he's racing off, it turns out she hired the raiders that kidnapped the daughter, and they're both trying to get the horse. And then she's like, you need to kill that guy, by which I mean kill his horse and then let him die in the desert, which is kind of messed up. The evil raiders manage to spring this trap on Frank and Hidalgo successfully, which puts a frickin' spear through Hidalgo's shoulder, which is crazy. It's insane. There's a whole long scene where Frank is cutting the spear out of Hidalgo's shoulder. Like, oh my god, if you're not ready for that. Ugh, that's so much. And somehow, Frank gets Hidalgo, using the assistance of a rider he helped earlier in the race, out of the trap. And then he manages to fight off the guy who's like the evil raider mastermind. And then the evil raider mastermind stumbles onto one of his own traps. And Frank uses a lasso to activate the trap, plunging that guy onto some big spiky pit trap things. I'm sure there's a more official term for it. After which, Hidalgo's like, I don't know, man. I think with the whole shoulder wound thing, I'm probably good. I'm gonna lay down. And Frank's like, come on, man. We could still totally win this. And Hidalgo's like, no, I believe it isn't the time for the big long nap. And Frank's like, well, if that's the case, maybe I'll shoot you. But just before he does, a bunch of those djinn show up in the desert and they're dancing. And then Frank's like, maybe those are the spirits of my ancestors. Because Frank is half Native American. And then he starts chanting a Native American chant. And it's kind of an amazing scene where he's connecting with the spirits of his ancestors. And then he sees his mother and his mother's like, you can do this. And then another guy is like, oh yeah, I'm riding that super cool Arabian stallion and I'm totally going to beat you at this race. And you never stood a chance anyway. And then Hidalgo stands up and comes up to Frank's shoulder and is like, I'm tired of listening to this punk ramble on about how he's going to beat us. Let's smoke his butt. And then they race, and they're going really fast, and I still don't understand how Hidalgo's shoulder injury is not a problem in all of this. And then Hidalgo and Frank win the race, and Frank goes back to the U.S., and he uses the money that he earned from the race to free all of the Sioux tribe's horses and release them back out into the plains. And it's such a beautiful moment. And Frank and Hidalgo, and then Frank takes off Hidalgo's saddle and he's like, go on, boy. Go on, get out of here. Go sire a lot of children. And the scene is so beautiful. And anyway, that's how the movie goes.
That was amazing.
So good.
And if that was the movie trailer, I would 100% go see the movie. Like, I am super invested now.
That can't be the movie trailer. That's the whole movie. There's nothing left to watch. I've given you the audiobook version.
Well, have you seen movie trailer in the past 5 years? That's what they do.
Yeah, pretty much.
I hate it. It's my least favorite thing they're doing lately.
Actually, I need that.
Give me an idea of what the movie is. Don't give me the whole movie. Especially don't give me the big twist that's the third act plot twist in the trailer. That's not reason. Like, you could foreshadow it a little bit, but don't give it. Come on. Come on. You know,
the only thing I need is a really operatic, dark version of a, like, pop or rock song, and I'm bought in.
Yeah.
Don't give me any plot. Just play, like, I don't know, Paint It Black, but, like, really slow and with a whole orchestra, and I'm there. Yeah.
Isn't that the Batman trailer?
Well, did you go see Batman?
I did. I did go see it's the working. Batman.
It's working.
They like to use some, like, one young girl singing Hurt and, like, no music behind it. And I'm
there
like,
you go.
Oh, this is so dramatic. Mm-hmm. I am captured in this moment.
See, that trend is ruined for me a little bit because the first place I remember doing that was Sucker Punch. And then and I saw Sucker Punch and I felt so betrayed. But
oh no!
How excited I was supposed to
be. We're gonna have an entire fight.
I know. I was like, we can have a whole conversation about what an underrated, maybe misguided, but underrated movie Sucker Punch is.
Oh, that's,
and I am not a Zack Snyder apologist.
I would start fights over people being really excited about Sucker Punch. I'm so sorry.
You can just like Zack Snyder. It's fine. You don't have to be an apologist.
Well, Watchmen still exists. Like, as much as I liked his version of Justice League, Watchmen's still floating out there, and I can't get behind that. So.
Okay.
I tried to watch Batman v Superman, and I got about 15 minutes in, and I was like, I can't sit through this. This is I feel physical pain right now.
That's another movie where I enjoyed it. I would never sit here and say it was good, but I had fun watching it.
I enjoy bad movies.
Yeah.
I couldn't with that one. I just couldn't.
It's just hurting my soul. It's fine.
The other one that really got me was, I think they did that same thing. I don't remember if it was Mad World or Hurt, but it was a very, very slow song, and it was like a Gears of War 3 commercial.
Oh,
it was a Mad World. Okay, it was like this super dramatic action scene, but it was set to that, and I was like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen, you know. So yeah, I am captured very easy by that same thing.
That's how the reverb and slowed music trend came about.
Mm-hmm.
Just those movie trailers.
I am, but yeah, I need like just a short clip of Frank and Indiana Jones bumping into each other at some like
that would be so fucking cool
weird place. Yeah, because I'm just convinced that these two were kin of some sort after watching this movie. This was an Indiana Jones movie, like 100%.
Yeah,
well,
just with a slightly less. Put together like a slightly more problematic Indiana Jones.
More?
He's got a few more issues, is all I'm saying.
Is Frank
more
I would just say different issues, honestly. Yeah, because again,
issues.
Again, I was a child, Indy.
That is a little bit of an issue. There's also every time Indiana Jones does not like trust or respect the women that he is traveling with. In spite of almost all of the women that Indiana Jones travels with at any point in time doing things like, oh, you're having trouble fighting a guy? Let me go ahead and deactivate the parking brake on this propeller plane. Let me go ahead and turn on the machine gun. Let me go ahead and sweep that across an entire field of trucks and just destroy all of them. Oh, you're still fighting that one guy? I could steer the plane towards you so that you could use the propeller as a weapon. Like, that's regular stuff for Indiana Jones heroine figures. And I don't, like, every time he's like, well, you're just a dame. And a dame shouldn't be getting into trouble, you see? I'm like, Indy, who the hell have you been traveling with? Because, like...
But they are the least trustworthy people. Like, in every movie, he gets stabbed in the back by every one of them. Yes, not, very capable.
Not every one of them.
Well, okay, more, all right, fair.
More than
and also,
more.
I don't blame them.
Dude, let me tell you, the propeller death in Last Crusade, I think it was Last Crusade, if I'm not getting confused.
Sounds right.
Yeah, one of my favorite all-time movie deaths. That was such a good one.
It's incredible. Yep. It's incredible.
I had a hard time figuring out who the love interest was going to be in this movie.
Horses. And I'm, yeah, horses, I'm glad, yeah, it is horses.
Yeah, I'm glad it played out that way. Because neither one of those people would have made a lick of sense.
Well, he can't run away with a sheik's daughter.
Nope,
that's not an option. And then it turns out that Lady Anne Davenport is a fucking conniving mega bitch. Like, that's obviously not going to work out.
Yep.
God, and wild horses keep dragging him away.
There is that.
No. I was very happy with that.
The fact that she is, like, half responsible for the deaths of dozens of people and for Hidalgo falling into a spike mm-hmm. trap, mm-hmm. like, unforgivable sins.
Nope.
Unforgivable. Mm-hmm. Yep. And at no point is she impaled in a spike pit. At no point.
Yep. I know. It's not fair.
Once again, the rich come out ahead.
I did love the guy who instantly came up and said, "You're a piece of garbage," with his fancy bird. And you just knew. You just knew that they were going to end up friends by the end of that movie. Like, this guy's going to be okay by the time this is done.
Anybody who stands up in the middle of an oasis and yells, "Hey, cowboy!"
And you just know that he's really annoyed that Frank is playing harmonica so loud. He's like, "Oh, look at Mr. Old West."
What a hipster.
I did love how many, you never really expect them to make the main character have everybody be getting stereotyped against them, but he just kept doing stereotypical cowboy shit, and everybody was like, "Wow, look at that quaint feller."
I will say, and I realize the movie's from 2004, so we already were kind of conscious of not being jerks about other people's cultures. I really appreciated that it seems like they worked to get actual, like, either Middle Eastern or Egyptian, mm-hmm. or at least, like, just generally in the right neighborhood origin actors mm-hmm. for the roles in the movie, where it's like, oh yeah, they're going to be in that region. Like, let's get people who actually look like they would live there, as opposed to white mm-hmm. people wearing brown makeup, which happens way too often. I think the thing that's incredible about Viggo Mortensen is that, as far as I can tell, he's an enthusiastic horse rider and owner. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. he goes to Lord of the Rings, and he's an exceptional actor. And then he's like, "I've done a movie with a horse, and the horse is great. I'm buying the horse. This is my horse now." Then he proceeds to do like 3 or 4 more horse films. And I know at the very least for the following film, which is Hidalgo, he buys the horse that he was working with the whole time. I think he might have done it for the next one too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you are correct.
Imagine being the horse trainers that are like, "Oh yeah, like my horses, Viggo Mortensen buys my horses."
Yeah. I do think that Viggo Mortensen has to be the, like, in terms of horse girl stories told on this podcast, he has to be like the most famous horse girl right now.
Yes, Viggo Mortensen is the most famous horse girl probably of all time ever. I believe he did also take the horse that played Hidalgo, TJ, to the premiere of Hidalgo and rode that horse at the premiere of the movie.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Did he like set the horse up in the theater to be like, "Look, there you are. That's you." God,
I don't believe so. I believe... Well. You look so good in this scene. I believe they had somebody to like take the horse afterwards, so they didn't have to try and like get them in the theater. Horses famously don't love movies longer than 45 minutes. But
I mean, I'm there with them.
Yeah.
That's why they won't pay for Zoom.
I want the intermission.
Yeah, they need the full intermission to go like get more snacks and shit. But wouldn't that be amazing though if he did take the horse in the theater and he's like, "Look, it's you."
Can I tell you? Like, and this may be a hot take. I'm not sure what reaction this is going to get. This is my favorite movie horse.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
This horse was so expressive in such a fun way that this is my favorite movie horse.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I think, okay, another thing I absolutely loved about this movie was how much they gave the horse to do. Like, not just, like, trick training wise, which he did. He did so many, like, grabbing the hat off stuff, untying the rope and running. And he also, like, every time he'd go charging, he'd be pinning his ears. He'd be doing all sorts of extra horse acting. But, like, this horse's face, you're correct, is just, he had that, like, because he had the bald face, he has the sclera that kind of comes down further. So he could just use so much eye expression in everything.
It was the eyes. That's exactly what I was thinking. It was the eyes that would give Viggo Mortensen's Frank such reactions that I was like, this is the best horse I've ever seen.
Hell yeah.
There's even, like, in the scene where the sailors are bullying him for no reason, like, the expressions where it's like, oh, you let me out of here, I will mess all of you up. Like, incredible. Like, how do you get that expression on a horse? Like, what?
No idea.
Amazing.
Such a good horse actor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Incredible horse actor. I think if we're talking live action horses, then yes, I will agree. Favorite movie horse.
Okay. Well, other categories of horses.
Well, it's got to be. Would be. It's got to be Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron.
Okay.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Like, he has eyebrows, and that's an advantage that other horses don't have. Like, live horses don't have.
Well, what about being able to, like, have animated facial expressions, which other horses don't really get to do either. Like, the whole, like, widening of eyes and things like, you know, raise an eyebrow, give them the people's eyebrow, like, you know. Real horses don't get to do all those cool things.
What's your favorite video game horse?
Roach from Witcher.
Okay.
Nice.
Which, as I understand it, is actually a series of, like, six horses, but I choose not to believe that. In my head, it's all one horse.
Oh, one horse.
Okay. I like it.
Because I think my favorite thing about Roach as a video game horse is it's one of the only video game horses where, like, you go up to a building, you go, okay, Roach, I'm going inside this building, you hang out here, and then you go into the building, you come back out, and Roach is like, I decided I would try to follow you into the building, and now somehow I am on top of it. And you're like, Roach, you scamp.
Okay, so overall takeaways, did y'all like the movie?
Oh, no, Tim, I don't like this movie.
I'm waiting for somebody to say, no, I hated it.
I can tell from the facial expressions that Alex and Jenna both not fans. Not fans of Viggo Mortensen. Not fans of this super expressive horse.
Yeah. Actually, this could have been 2 hours of just Viggo Mortensen petting a horse, and they would have been like, this is the best movie ever made.
Yeah, you are 100% true. Yeah. Like, I am waiting for the day that they put out a documentary on him and his horses, because I'm going to watch just, like, every fucking second of that on repeat.
I mean, just the video, the behind-the-scenes Lord of the Rings, where he spends 15 minutes explaining how they taught the horse that plays Brego to lay down next to him and how dangerous that stunt was and how much they practiced it before that scene in the arena. I've watched that more than once, and that is basically the movie you just said, Tim. It's basically him just talking about how good the horse is, and I'm like, this is the best documentary I've ever seen.
Just Jenna and Alex on the couch. This Viggo Mortensen documentary is playing. The volume is muted because they don't want to hear the narrator at all. And the video is playing at 1/2 speed so that it's longer.
I'm going to get Josh to narrate that video.
Maybe they don't mute it in that case. I don't know. I can't see for sure.
If it was Josh, it would be full volume. And everybody would be like, it's 1 a.m., please turn down Josh. And we'd be like, absolutely not.
You can't turn down Josh.
For what?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, now that we've talked about Hidalgo, what do you have for horse news for us, Alex?
Ooh.
Okay. You have to understand, you've hit me at a really difficult time in my life because the Kentucky Derby is coming up, right? So all the horse news is just the odds on the horses coming up. And right now there's one it's going to change, but it's at 1,000-1 odds. So if you want to put down a couple bucks on, like, it's like TO keystrokes or something like that, you can go do that. But that's not what I'm talking about here today. We're talking about a different racehorse. We're talking about a racehorse in Australia because Pride of Jenny, J-E-N-N-I, just won a race by 30 lengths. We're talking a secretariat-ass win here.
It's incredible. Yeah, like,
at that point, we're going to have to start talking about how many total lengths a race is. Because that sounds like a big chunk of the racetrack to me, 30 lengths.
I can show you a quick image right here, still from the video.
Wow.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's quite a lot of lengths. Yeah.
That's nuts. That's like the Usain Bolt of horses.
Yeah.
It's insane. So anyways, that's it. That's the whole news. It was just an unbelievable victory. And they called it, let's see, they used a really weird thing, a demolition job. Is what they call it. Nice. So now everybody's printing all the newspapers with, like, Pride of Jenny did a demolition job.
I need that shirt. Is Pride of Jenny a Kentucky Derby contestant?
No, she is a 6-year-old mare in Australia. So she is not in any way going to run in the Derby.
Okay. I feel like, when is the Derby? Do we have
next
dates
weekend?
On the Derby?
It's next weekend, I believe.
Okay. At some point this week, we should all pick winners.
I only pick losers, but I like your spirit.
Yeah, just compare how we do with no real understanding of anybody's skill level.
Now, remind me.
Well,
nice.
The Derby is the first of the three races for the Triple Crown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Is there a favorite for the Triple Crown at this point?
I don't think there's a favorite for the Triple Crown, but we're starting to understand who our favorites are for the Derby.
Okay.
It's just, there's just not being, Sierra Leone, I think, is like leading the pack right now, but they're all babies, right? So
why are they letting a mountain race a bunch of horses? I think that's messed up. I don't think they should do that.
I'm glad that you corrected me because I was thinking the director of A Fistful of Dollars.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to name my house or Sergio Leone.
If I hope he only eats spaghetti.
Okay.
I feel like Alex had something to say, but is now laughing too hard to be able to say it, which is great. I'm loving that.
It's a mixture of I'm laughing too hard to say it and like nothing I can add at this point will be funny because it's all going to be related to horses and therefore not good.
No. Horses are amazing. As Hidalgo just showed us.
Yeah.
The spirit of the horse really carries through. Actually, before we move on from Hidalgo altogether, I have an important question for people who actually interact with horses on a day-to-day basis and the sorts of injuries that horses can get. Because as I understand it, horses, notoriously, not good at being injured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've learned anything.
Great at getting injured.
Yeah. And wonderful not, at getting not injured. Good at dealing with it.
So Hidalgo takes a spear through the shoulder. And admittedly, it seems to be fairly surface. It does not appear to like go tremendously deep into muscle or bone or anything like that. Frank Hopkins takes a frickin' hunting knife and cuts the shaft of the spear out of Hidalgo's shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then Hidalgo goes on to win a race. Is this something that even remotely makes any flippin' sense? Or is this something where they're like, we need more dramatic tension for this movie, so we're just gonna like, we're gonna sprinkle a little movie magic on it and it'll be so dramatic. Which, by the way, after finishing the race, they go and they prance around in the seawater for a little bit. And I'm like, I've had a very small open wound in seawater, and it is the worst possible experience. Like, if that horse was truly, like, cut all the way up its shoulder right now, it would look at the ocean and be like, no, you go straight to hell.
I am going to add in the fact that if you remember, he did, and I mean Frank, did Rambo that wound by heating a knife and burning that crap shut.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something I managed to miss while walking between meetings and sort of paying attention to my phone.
he did it. And the horse was like, ah, shit, and tried to jump up. And Frank was like, nah, it's cool. And the horse was like, oh, all right, it's cool. And he goes back to doing it. And I was like, no, that shit hurt a minute ago. Like, how are you just okay with it now?
To be fair, did pin his neck down, which if you pin a horse's neck down when they're down, it is very difficult for them to get up.
I mean, pin a person's neck down and see if they can get up. That's true. You know?
Yeah, nope. That's true. I was not thinking of the human aspect of this.
I was trying to wet Willy Alex all weekend, and I did try the neck pin down, and all I ended up was in a full Nelson for my troubles.
Mm. The beauty of the human anatomy is that our limbs can reach up to things that are behind our necks. Yeah.
I was, though, the full Nelson I made up, the inability to wet Willy Alex did happen. I got stopped at every turn. Yeah.
It makes sense. I'm glad, Alex, I'm glad, my dearest father, that you were able to thwart these terrible, terrible attempts.
Every single time I was like, I need to make my boy proud.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You did. Mm-hmm. You always do.
She did end up holding my finger like I was a toddler for about 3 minutes to make sure that I did not attempt it again.
I think it was longer than 3 minutes.
It was probably longer than three minutes.
It was quite a long car ride. And by the end of it, I'm pretty sure that the driver had no idea what the fuck was going on, was very concerned for all of us, and was like, please get out of my car now.
I mean, that's fair.
There wasn't a single driver we didn't disturb that weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
Or Game Master at escape rooms.
Mm.
That's a little less surprising, to be honest.
Oh, no, hold on. I completely derailed your question.
I was just going to jump back,
Oh, okay. I'll let you jump back then. I'll quit derailing.
Tim, enough. Enough of your bullshit.
You and your derailing and your tangents. God. This is a serious show about horses and horse media.
We're just lucky we didn't do it about birds, because as Tim knows, if he tried to make jokes about birds, it would end so poorly for him.
Mm-hmm. If there's one thing Alex is serious about, birds. Mm.
Anyways, I think they were really trying to go for, like, it was just through the skin. That's why it kind of, like, went in and out right on the top of the shoulder. But there is a lot of muscle there and two, like, really distinct layers kind of close to the surface. So, like, I would not have galloped that horse with that injury, even after you Rambo the wound shut. No.
Well, also, my understanding from first aid specialists is that Ramboing that wound shut actually does not do what you would hope it would. It, in fact, causes the wound to be worse and now a burn as well as a wound.
Mm-hmm.
I have
always
wondered that. Now, granted, it wasn't quite Ramboing because he didn't, you know, stick it through. He just did it externally. But every time I've always wondered that, I'm like, that can't possibly fix anything. Like, you have not solved any problem other than creating an external mess.
Yeah.
Because everything is still bleeding inside, right?
I feel like the only time that can be a plausible, like, way to do anything good is if you're trying to cauterize an active bleed.
Yeah, but even then, you're still, at that point, just internally bleeding, right? Like, you've not solved any of your problems, you've just moved them.
I mean, in this case, I could see there wouldn't be all that much internal bleeding, because it's such a surface-level wound.
Sure.
But it's still, like, that, you're not helping that wound. You're literally just, like, creating a huge burn, which is itself a wound.
I've thought about that every time I've watched Rambo. And I'm also really surprised that Alex got that reference.
I didn't. I repeated what you said.
I gotcha. Okay. Rambo gets shot through the stomach and he heats an arrow, and I think he jams the arrow in the wound.
That wouldn't help.
So then he's like, you know, double penetration.
Oh,
that's a way to phrase that.
I'm sure Sylvester
tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
I had a brief moment inside my own head where I was like, now, Sylvester Stallone, is he the problematic anti-Semitic? No, that's Mel Gibson. Okay, all right. Continuing on.
Yeah, that's Mel Gibson. We're still allowed to like over the top, as far as I know.
Yeah. And Cliffhanger.
And Cliffhanger.
God, Cliffhanger was such a dumb, fantastic movie.
So dope.
Man, anything he was so in the 90s, his version of Judge Dredd, amazing.
I agree. Bad, wholeheartedly.
But amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what would have made Judge Dredd and Cliffhanger better?
What's that?
If he'd had horses.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, and imagine a like really slow dramatic song to go over it.
Yeah. Can you imagine Judge Dredd riding up to the law, like that big huge like eagle-shaped law center on horseback, and then he rides the horse into the law office and somebody's like, "You can't do that. That's not part of the law." And he's like, "I am the law."
That's it. That's the movie.
Clop 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 clop. So much better.
Yep. Speaking of great movies, Jenna, I think it's time for the quiz.
Okay. That's an interesting segue because I don't know how many of these are great. Some of them for sure. Some of them not so much.
I'm not sure how many people would agree with me that the 1990s Judge Dredd was great.
If they don't, they can get the fuck out, Tim.
I mean, I agreed with you that it was great.
Yeah.
I liked it more than the more recent remake, which itself was entertaining, but it wasn't nearly as good. IMO.
Okay. That's an interesting way to phrase that, because I would say that the newer one was, in fact, more of a good movie, but I love it less.
Interesting.
If that makes sense. Yeah, I think it's a better produced film and a better thought out script. But I don't love it near as much.
I don't know that I agree.
So this is the Carl Urban, right?
Yes,
the Carl Urban.
It's the Carl Urban Judge Dredd. And
Raid 2.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
That was a fantastic movie.
Is if you want to watch the new Judge Dredd, but with a better plot and more engaging action and more interesting and better cinematography and a better soundtrack, you go and you watch The Raid 2. But all of that is beside the point, because I'm fairly certain no Judge Dredds or Raid 2 are on Jenna's movie quiz.
Probably
you don't know
not.
That.
I can't be certain.
You know what else is not on my movie quiz is the 2014 remake of RoboCop, which I also kind of like.
Oh. Ooh.
It's got Joel Kinnaman in it.
Yeah, didn't love that one.
Didn't
love that one at all. I definitely does not even scratch the surface of the first RoboCop.
No.
I have mixed feelings about both RoboCops. I do love the original, though.
Mm-hmm. And RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 3. Admittedly, hot, hot garbage.
Yeah.
And the RoboCop animated series. And the RoboCop Sega Genesis. I was a big RoboCop guy growing up.
All right. So, piece of media number one is a 2016 American action thriller film directed by Gavin O'Connor, written by Bill DeBook, and starring several people. I just realized I'm not going to read the rest of that clue.
History of Violence.
It's not Eastern History of Violence.
Promises.
It's not Eastern Promises.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings 2016 edition.
Yeah, that's right. The TV remake, Rings of Power.
Is it 2016? Is it Kingsman?
No.
Oh, that's not a bad guess, though.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. That is better than any guess that we've made in the history of this show.
I mean, ever.
Honestly. Yeah.
Including the right ones.
Okay, I'm going to need another clue, I think.
I was going to say, I'm feeling a little lost here.
Yeah. All right. The storyline follows Christian Wolfe, a CPA who makes his living...
Oh, the accountant.
Yep,
got that one.
Damn it.
Don't think I figured out the through line yet, but...
Who wants a movie just called The Accountant? Like, Accountant.
It's pretty good.
Okay, I love that movie, and I'm so mad that I never got a sequel.
I don't know that I've seen this one.
That's the Ben Affleck movie,
where
he's an accountant.
John Wick actor, accountant, the guy that plays Buffalo Bill. He's an accountant actor.
J.K. Simmons. Yeah.
He's an accountant actor.
Is he in The Accountant? Or
I don't know. He's an actor who looks and sounds like an accountant.
I've never seen someone stone face, like people making just like spaghetti on the wall guesses, like Tim and Alex are desperately trying to do right now.
It's because the novelty has worn off.
Jenna is just like half smiling and nodding and just like the like coldest eyes you've ever seen. I'm like,
that's because she's dead inside.
She's giving them nothing. Masterful.
We've ruined her. We've broken her so hard that none of this is funny to her.
This is how you become the quest master. Is you gotta be able to like pull it together like this.
Wow. Yes. He's an accountant actor. I just all right. So are you ready for number two?
Hell yeah.
All right. Number two is a 2013 American science fiction horror film written and directed by Scott Stewart and produced by Jason Blum under his Blumhouse Productions banner.
Oh, 2013?
Mm-hmm.
Did they make a Dead Space movie? Did that ever happen?
I think they did, but I doubt that's this. The trouble is, I followed a fair few Blumhouse films, and I feel like I should know this because it's 2013, and like that is a time when I was watching a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And I am just like, the way in which I'm staring off into space, like as if I actually have thoughts in my head, but really it's just a hamster on a wheel just squeaking away. Just.
That's the same thing like right now with A24 movies. Like if somebody says A24 made this movie, I'm like, I knew that. But if you ask me to name an A24 movie, I'm like, okay.
Maxine.
The Green Knight.
Pearl.
Maxine. Which hasn't even come out yet.
The Green Knight. Yeah, but Pearl has. Film.
What was?
The Green Knight.
I did not know that one.
That one is wild to watch. But I don't think
was it good?
I enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
It came out.
I watched it when I was sick, and I'm pretty sure that like my brain reproduced things that happened in it. Like, I don't know if anything actually happened in that film that my brain thinks happened in that film. But now that you're saying that it's wild, maybe it did.
There's a whole sequence in that film where you are meant to be like, did I get high walking into this theater? Like, is it just kicking in now? Like, what was in the popcorn I ate? Like, I'm really concerned. And then you walk out and you're like, what the hell did I just watch? And apparently, that's because they dipped liberally into the source material for the movie. And that's just not something a lot of people do with Arthurian legends, because Arthurian legends get real weird real fast.
Mm-hmm.
2013, and it's a Blumhouse production.
This was released in the United States on February 22nd, 2013 by Dimension Films, and the film grossed $27.8 million worldwide and received mixed reviews from critics, with many praising the performances, premise and ambition, but criticized the screenplay for its muddled plot and characters.
Dither stood still part. Three.
Ghost taking over your body actively. Okay.
I just couldn't decide which one I wanted to go with.
Was it Evil Dead?
No.
What's the one where the aliens come down and they have like a Rosetta Stone and the whole thing is following a college professor?
Evolution?
I don't know.
I think the one you're talking about was a horror film. I think that wasn't that like Visitors or something like that?
It could be. It just seemed to have like a color scheme that seemed like it might be a horror movie.
Contact. That might be it. I'm not. Yeah. I'm really not.
That's the Jodie Foster one from a long time ago.
2013 sci-fi horror movie. 27 million worldwide.
I know. That's not a huge number.
Kind of pitiful for any kind of movie that goes worldwide. Like if that was like, oh, it's an indie film that was released in very small theaters in the US or Canada only, then it's like, oh, 27 million is amazing. But worldwide release, that's not a lot of money. Sci-fi horror.
No.
What year did Jason go to space?
Not then.
That was like 2006.
I was in high school.
I know it's not...
Or middle school.
I know it's not the Lost in Space movie, because that was also around, like, 2004, 2006 era.
Yeah.
That was 1999 or 2000.
Was it?
I have a bunch of, like, stuff from it. Promotional materials.
There was a Lost in Space Netflix show, too, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. So that show is fucking great.
Fun fact, a little movie trivia for you. The original soundtrack for the, like, 1960s Lost in Space TV series. Composer, Johnny Williams.
And no way.
If you go back knowing it's John frickin' Williams and you listen to the music from that show, you'll be like, Mother of God, it's real.
That's crazy.
I know. That's insane. 2013 Blumhouse sci-fi horror. Yeah. $27 million.
Was it
worldwide?
Human Centipede?
It's not Human Centipede.
That was probably before 2013, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm really not sure when Human Centipede came out. I just remember being like, I'm not going to that.
I'll start giving you some plot points. The Barrett family reside on a quiet Ghost took over my body again. The Barrett family reside on a quiet suburban street in an unnamed American city. Daniel, the father, is currently unemployed, placing the burden of supporting the family on Lacey, the mother, who works as a real estate agent. Their two sons enjoy a happy relationship and communicate with each other from their beds via walkie-talkie. A number of strange occurrences befall the family. During the night, the contents of the kitchen are rearranged in bizarre configurations. The house alarm is set off when it detects that all entry points were breached simultaneously, and one of the sons, Sammy, suffers a fit while at the park, and Lacey is shocked when hundreds of birds suddenly crash into the house.
Oh, I've seen this.
The Grudge 3. This time it's aliens.
I mean,
Signs.
That's not the farthest guess that she's ever had.
It's not. It's really not.
I'm
honestly.
I'm ready to go to Google because I'm not going to get this.
Oh, okay. You want to do that? That's a thing you want to do?
Well, we could keep going. Why don't you give us word clues and we'll see if we can get it.
Is that a thing you want to do?
Yeah.
I'm open to whatever clues you want to give us, Jenna. I believe in your abilities as a quiz master.
All right. So the name of this movie is two words.
Okay.
All right. One of them is a quality and one of them is a location.
A quality and a location.
Yeah.
Something like haunted house.
Something like that.
Louisiana.
Oh, okay, nope.
The hot below.
That's three words.
That is three words.
Oh. Hot below.
Slippery Tuscaloosa.
I think Slippery Tuscaloosa is a movie that exists, but it's a very different genre. Yeah.
Could still be sci-fi, though.
Could
you never
still
know.
Be sci-fi.
That's Alex's gamer tag on Xbox.
It should be now.
So like a like
so
a
like weird
mediocre
space.
Corn.
Yeah, so kind of like that.
It's outhouse.
Outhouse.
Is it an outhouse? That's another alien thing. Aliens love outhouses.
Museum? Outhouse is one word.
I mean, if you're gonna abduct,
yeah, that's the second word.
If you're gonna abduct somebody with their pants down in order to like maximize probing efficiency, outhouse is really the way to go.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, honestly.
That and teens at makeout point.
Mm-hmm. Can you give great us another word clue?
Okay, both of these words that the title is consisting of could have to do with light in a way.
Dim sun.
You are so fucking close that like, well, yes, that was goddamn funny. You're so close. It's killing me.
The dark room? Dark basement?
No.
Dark house.
We either have sun or room. This has to contain either sun or room.
Dark rental property.
Why does it...
You lost the thread of the words.
Dark Verbo.
Oh, Dark Verbo.
Was Verbo even a thing in 2013?
No. This is how they got started.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
That makes a lot of sense. Verbo, get a rental that has aliens.
That are a quality of light.
Dark beach house.
No, it's, so, all right, hold on.
There's not enough.
It could be an interpretation of light in some way. So dark is probably that first word, because room,
yeah, probably
room does, yeah, not involve light in any way. The second word would be something to do with light. So it would have to be like
dark matter.
That's not.
Dark matter is pretty good. It'd be funny if it was dark light. Yeah. That would be a
dark
really
lights?
Dumb movie name. But I don't.
I'm
think that's
calling
it.
Everything. Every project I do henceforth is going to be dark light.
Project dark light.
I mean, they're going to assume that that's a black light. That's what that is, but. It'll still be pretty cool.
Wrong.
Especially if you're wearing white or neon green anything. Be incredible.
Dark skylight?
Dark star?
So, dark window?
So
dark
my, window? What, there's so many things that just happened.
I think they were all wrong. What, so my first clue was that one of them was a quality and one of them was a location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we have dark.
Yeah.
And it's got, now, it's related to light in some way.
In some
the
way,
location
yeah.
Is.
Dark greenhouse. That's related to light.
Mm-hmm.
Dark, people are all about the lights in the greenhouse.
A dark garden certainly would be.
Ooh, man, actually dark garden sounds pretty cool.
Right?
That does sound
like a
that
really
movie.
Good band.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If I ever make a goth rock band. It'll be Dark Garden.
It's Dark Garden.
We'll do Soundgarden covers.
That's cool.
Oh,
but really slow and
metal
cinematic.
Soundgarden covers sounds like the coolest fucking shit I've ever heard.
Only
Sugar Cherry Cola. Sorry. That was the wrong band. I did the wrong band.
I'm dying over here.
Nobody wanted to point that out.
Dark Planetarium.
Nope.
Didn't you say Savage Garden?
It's what my brain heard.
Oh, okay.
I did,
but I said it's a wrong one.
I did say Soundgarden, which is already pretty metal.
Dark skies?
Yep.
Ah, skies do have a lot to do with light. It's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that name at all. I would never have gotten there.
Mm-hmm. Didn't love or hate that movie, but it was a thing I watched.
Wouldn't it be wild if someone got the through line because they thought an actor was an accounting actor?
Oh my God. Okay, are you guys ready for number three?
Yes, please. Yes.
Maybe.
Cool. Number three is a 2009 American comedy horror film written by Diablo Cody and directed by Karen Kusama.
Jennifer's Body.
Yep.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Don't remember that. I just remember Diablo Cody. Did not remember J.K. Simmons in that movie at all.
Hmm. Weird.
Maybe that's because it's
Megan
not
Fox.
J.K. Simmons.
Oh.
I'm not recalling. I'm not great with actor names in general. But I know that there's several people in Hidalgo that are very famous actors outside of Omar Sharif, Viggo Mortensen, and J.K. Simmons. Like, the woman who played, what's her face? The woman who's a gunslinger. Who's like...
Annie Oakley.
The woman who played Annie Oakley is another, like, super famous actress. Mm-hmm. So, like... And I'm terrible with names. I just know that I've seen her in a lot of stuff.
Number four is an American science fiction thriller television series that was created by Justin Marks and was first broadcast on the premium cable network, Stars.
I feel like sci-fi action thriller is too many things to be.
Do you think this is one we would have likely heard of, even if we haven't seen it? Like, pretty popular, pretty commonly?
I know that Tim has heard of it. I don't know if Tim has retained it.
because you've specifically told Tim about it on multiple occasions. Yes,
many.
Pretty likely, I have not retained it.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just, I'm just dealing in reality. She told me about upload maybe 50 times, and I didn't put it together until after we met Paolo Costanzo.
I was just going to say, is Paolo Costanzo in this one as well? Because that feels like Tim definitely won't remember then.
Yeah.
The series ran for 20 episodes across two seasons, and it premiered on December 10th, 2017, and aired its final episode on February 17th, 2019.
Like, when we talk sci-fi action thriller, the only things I'm thinking of are, like, Farscape, which is from, like, the early 2000s.
Oh.
Or Lex from basically the exact same time period.
We have to talk about Lex because you're the only other human being who has ever even said the fucking word Lex ever in the entire world.
Easily...
I sing the fucking Bruninji fucking chant all the time.
Easily the horniest show I've ever seen on the sci-fi
ever
channel in my life.
Ever.
And the sci-fi channel has some horny shows.
Howard Silk, a gentle, quiet office worker, has been working for a Berlin-based United Nations agency, the Office of Interchange, for 30 years. His position is too low for him to be told that what his work, exchanging apparently nonsensical messages, really involves. The OI oversees a checkpoint below its headquarters between parallel Earths, the Alpha and Prime worlds.
I love how they don't want either world to feel any lesser than the others. They're like, okay, you'll be world number one and we'll be world A, and then we'll all be happy together.
You know what's actually rattling around in my head is a comment that Jenna made about another TV show after somebody made an olive joke from Fringe.
You know what?
And I'm thinking that was probably this show.
Oh.
And it didn't stick in my brain.
I could tell you what's rattling around in my head, but it's not going to help you.
That's anyway.
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time. Way yeah. So there you go. Anyway.
That's the exact conversation, isn't it, Jimmy?
That is the exact conversation.
Oh my God.
I remember the conversation now.
So Tim is like this close to getting it. If only he could connect those two synapses together. Like they're desperately reaching for each other, but they're just not quite. Oh, they keep missing. Oh, there's no grip.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to Google. There's no grip.
That's okay. All right. And go.
Counterpart?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nope. Didn't know that one.
Wow. That was so fast.
I don't even know what that means. I didn't even spell thriller close to right.
Oh, no. Of all the words to misspell.
I mean, you still got there faster than any of the rest of us.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know what word I forgot to add to my search, even though I did spell thriller right? Show. And so immediately they're like, oh, well, here's all these cool movies that you could watch. And I'm like, no, these are all wrong.
Please go away.
I tried to search Howard Silk, and instead I typed in Howard.Silk, and it turns out that's not a site.
Yeah, okay, good.
Not a site. Yeah.
I don't think you want to visit Howard.Silk anyway. Like,
I don't think so.
The odds of that being good news are not high.
Not. I know.
I feel like it's ties. It's a guy selling ties.
You know what?
That is.
I would be very happy if that was the end result of that.
Yeah. Same.
The alternate thing that I would be really happy about is a guy named Howard has learned how to do like gymnastics silks.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
yeah.
Just really wanted somewhere to put all his videos. Like
he's super proud of it.
I would be about that site as well.
Arguably the worst one possible. All right. Oh, number five is a 2021 American military science fiction action film directed by Chris McKay, written by Zach Dean, and starring someone
2021?
In the world. Uh-huh.
It's not Tenet.
Okay. I'm going to admit My internet cut out for about half of that clue. So what I've got is 2021 really bad sci-fi movie.
American ghost took over my body. American military science fiction action film.
Okay.
Starship Troopers?
That's not 2021.
It's not, so but that's the level that I'm thinking. Yeah. When you say military science fiction, that's what comes to mind.
I mean,
I will say that if you haven't watched it, you shouldn't. It had a budget of $200 million.
Good God.
Because it was originally set for a theatrical release. And that made it one of the most expensive films to debut on a streaming platform.
Is it Battleship?
It's not Battleship.
Battleship also. Yeah.
When I heard the budget, I was like...
Yeah.
Oh God, I just read the most upsetting sentence about this.
Can you share it?
A sequel is in development.
Oh no.
In December 2022, biology teacher and former Green Beret, Dan Forrester, fails to land a job at a prestigious research center. While he watches the 2022 FIFA World Cup final, soldiers from the year 2051 arrive to warn them that humanity is on the brink of extinction due to alien invaders, the White Spikes.
What is this?
The White Spikes sounds like a White Stripes cover band. That plays it like more punk style.
The lead singer is white, is Jack Spikes. Like, that's his bit.
In response, members of the world's armed forces are sent to the future, but less than 20% manage to survive, prompting a global draft. Dan receives notice that he has been drafted and is fitted with a bracelet that tracks him. Dan's wife, Emmy, asks him to remove the bracelet with help of his estranged father, James, but Dan becomes angry with him and leaves without removing the bracelet. Dan and the recruits are sent to Miami Beach, Florida. I don't know why it's important, but it is. In the future, but few survive, having been dropped at the wrong location above the city. The star of this film is Chris Pratt.
Tomorrow Man, Man of Tomorrow.
Oh God, Tim. Keep going. War? Yes, good job.
The Tomorrow War. Yeah. God. No, I did not ever watch that movie. And good. It sounds like
I'm so proud of you. Please never watch it.
Yeah.
Please don't.
That sounds so bad.
Oh, please don't watch it. Because at one point, like, you're like, oh, okay, that's the end. That was an okay movie. And then it just keeps going and you're like, what?
It doesn't sound okay from any point. You know what is not a corrupt organization? Our metal barn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You're sure that isn't corrupt?
Man.
None of those horses are part of many money laundering schemes. Can we be certain of this?
Yeah, can you?
Oh, we cannot be certain of that. I found one of them with a demonic handbook.
I don't know what that has to do with money laundering.
Well, maybe not money laundering, but it is corruption.
Yep.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Depends on how you look at it, I guess, yeah. Though.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read you the names of all of these horses, and you guys are going to tell me which one is corrupt.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay. Go ahead.
But we all know.
All right. Well, first of all, completely innocent are Moose Jaw McGraw, Big Thick Martingale, and Beta Ray Philly. They would never do a single thing wrong. But how do you guys feel about Hot Lava SpaghettiOs?
It's fine.
Yeah.
I think
SpaghettiOs is as corrupt as that horse gets. Like canned canned pasta is like,
yeah.
It's not. We're not fully on the up and up here, but we're not doing crime.
Yeah.
Like maybe he buys some weed from a buddy every now and then.
That's not corruption.
That's not a crime.
That's
most of the country. Okay. That's not even criminal.
That's right. Supporting a small business.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Nate, your horse is cleared. What about Iron Meriden?
Nope, it's a good horse.
Totally fine.
Yep.
I have my suspicions, but we should continue on the list because I might come back to Iron Meriden.
Okay, so Stevie Lake boyfriend, Philip D. Keating, your horse is cleared for now, but with a caveat. All right, how about Dale Donuts the Third?
Nope,
it's a good horse. That one, though. Ooh, I don't know. See, that's where I have questions.
That horse 4-H's me every time it does anything. So yeah,
okay, all right. You know what? That's okay. All right.
That's a joke for Steve, who is the owner of Dale Donuts the Third. What about Dimebag?
No, that's a good horse. That's just a weed horse. Again, like
weed, it's just a weed horse.
Weed is not corruption.
Yep.
And
yeah, I think we've established that.
Dimebag is very upfront about this. So I think that that in of itself is kind of an indicator.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
Matt Allman, your horse is extremely good and on the up and up. What about Marital Combat?
Nope, it's a good horse.
Yeah, it's a really fucking good horse.
The only problem I have with Marital Combat is that it sounds too much like Marital Combat. Which
never thought about that before.
Is a problem that I think some people have. Like Alex and I try not, Alpha Alex and I should say, try not to spar too often because the collision of our powerful energies has been known to destroy things. But like, you want your marital combat to be more of a like for fun sparring thing is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I've got my eyes on marital combat. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Metastrophe, eyes on your horse. Don't like that. All right. How do you feel about Glue Factory?
Nope. It's a good horse.
I feel like there's something in the past there. Definitely reformed.
Yeah, fair. But doing things right now.
I feel like Glue Factory has a bit of like a sniffing things problem, like smelling too much stuff.
Oh, I see. I went melting down the other horses. Oh God! Like,
you think Glue Factory's melting horses in the
there
metal
are no
barn?
Melted horses. There are no I melted think, horses.
I think it could be a mafia thing. God. I don't know. I know that they sometimes use glue. Anyway, okay, Bean. Listen, we'll come back to this.
Make you an offer you can't refuse. Clop. Clop, clop.
Things that have been said at a brony convention for 500, Alex. How do we feel about Pony Hawk?
Best horse.
I implicitly trust Pony Hawk. I've seen that horse do kick flips. You can't do kick flips that
hell
clean
yeah.
If you've got corruption in your heart.
You're right. God damn it. Olivia, your horse. Pure as beautiful. Snow. All right. What about Ronnie?
That one.
Corrupt.
That's the one.
Yeah.
The most corrupt.
Yeah, I know I said I was going to come back to Iron Maiden and even Marital Combat, but No. Ronnie, that already sounds like a mafioso name. Let me get my phone. Let me see if I can get Ronnie to come over here and take care of this situation. Like, That's a corrupt horse. That's also the kind of horse that I think if they found a demonic summoning book would be like, I mean, I'll check it out. I might not use it.
Actually, that sounds like what Jenna would do. Like, we've had this conversation about her coming across a book in the middle of the woods.
Tim, you never read from the book.
She might.
You don't do it.
Is that
I would
Appalachian
never read
thing?
From the book.
That is a throwback joke since, I don't know, Nam. Like, it's from way back.
Yeah. Way, way back.
Okay, because I just want you to know that also, just knowing, I'm learning a lot about what you can and can't do with Appalachian cryptids, and I feel like reading from the book is on the list.
There is.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that if you do find a book in the woods, you probably shouldn't read from it, especially if you find it in Appalachia, because it might be something.
Animorphs.
Oh
fuck. Just don't read it out loud.
Alpha Alex and I have had this conversation, but not about books, but about little effigy dolls found inside tiny caves. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to leave that there to disturb some other hikers. I'm going to pull it out.
What?
And I'm going to put it in a bag and I'm going to dispose of it safely
no.
in the trash. And she's like,
what?
Bring
never
demons you... home with you.
I have
the instant you touch
you
that effigy. And I'm like, but it's weird. And some weirdo put it there in the first place. And like that needs to go away.
That weirdo might be a skinwalker, and now it knows where you live.
We all on this podcast adore Alpha Alex, but I have never agreed with her so hard in my life.
Yeah.
I'll tell her that that you all said her three favorite words. You were right.
I don't know. I'm kind of interested in this taking the effigy dolls out of tiny... First of all, tiny caves is what got me to begin with. Love the idea of tiny caves. But second of all, I kind of love this idea. I want to see this.
I'm not talking about take the tiny effigy doll home and put it up on my mantle. I'm not a crazy person.
No, in the trash.
I take it.
It doesn't matter. It has touched your skin.
I take it to the parking lot and I drop it in. Well, I probably, in fairness, especially since the kinds of tiny effigy dolls we're talking about are likely to look like they have blood on them or were as part of some sort of, I'm not going to touch that with my bare skin. Because I do understand the premise of hygiene. So I usually, when I go hiking, I bring a plastic grocery bag with me. And as I see trash on the trail, I pick it up and I put it in the bag. And then when I get back to the parking lot, I drop it in a trash receptacle in the parking lot. So probably what I would do is use the bag as a glove and grab the little effigy doll and then just like fold the bag back up over it. Now, is this a zero risk situation? No, probably not. But I don't want to leave it there.
Now there's hiking in the woods.
I don't
want
to leave it there to curse somebody else or to spook somebody else, haunt some small child who just moved just barely off the trail to have a pee behind a bush. Like, that doesn't seem correct.
That's true. From the very little I know about the very few things I know, if that child pees on it, they are part of the situation now.
That seems highly likely.
Yeah, now they have a poltergeist. Yeah. Sorry, a petergeist.
A petergeist. You're in for it now.
Do you think petergeists float around your house like poo? Poo.
I do think that, yeah.
Josh, remind everybody where everybody can find you.
You can find me in a variety of places. You can come join my Discord, bit.ly/goblindiscord, all lowercase. That's where I am most of the time, just lurking, living, breathing, knowing everything. You can find all of my shows and the social media for Goblins and Growlers and all of that stuff on our Linktree. That's linktr.ee/goblinsandgrowlers. And that's where our show Quid Pro Roll is. That's where the show that Brandon and I do, the Goblins and Growlers podcast, is. You can find those on all of your podcatchers of choice. And you can find me on pretty much every social media I'm on as @BlackCloakDM.
Hey, thanks for coming and watching Hidalgo with us. That was fun.
I really appreciate you all having me on to watch Hidalgo, in large part because I'd never seen it before. And it's a freaking great movie. So thank you.
Yeah, it was fun.
This brings our podcast to an end, similarly to the way that Cowboy brings an end of a race about by beating all of the 30 Arabians or 50 Arabians or 100 Arabians that they set out to race against. Thank you, Viggo Mortensen, Ultimate Horse Girl. I love it. Anyways, thanks for listening to Horse Girls. If you want to know when new episodes are posted or share your observations of this positively academic podcast, follow us on Facebook @Horse Girls Podcast, Twitter and Instagram @Horse Girls Cast. And if you want to buy some radical shirts and things, visit duckduckjenna.com, America's most beloved search engine to search for one thing, and that's Horse Girls merch. You can take our relationship to the next level because you know you want to, right? You do. You've listened to this episode. You're like, I'm ready. Where do I go next? Horsegirls.club or singlethoughtconnection.com, THOT. We have a veritable plethora of things to offer you, like content, but more importantly, horses in the barn. If you want to find us on other podcasts, you can. We do them. If you like TTRPGs, check out Dungeons and Drakenbeams, Late Starters, and Dragon Knight Adventure Friends. Knight without a K, not like the Transformers movie that we talked about earlier, like the time when it's dark outside, that one. And if you like Animorphs, check out Animorphs Anonymous. Surprise, we also do Surprise Act Book Club. If you are Betwitched by Jenna, check out Jenna's Twitch at twitch.tv/JennaChill with one singular L. And you know what I'll do? If you put that second L anywhere except Google, I will go ahead, I will sharpen it, I will put it in a pit, and then I'll do a series of dastardly crimes in the desert to make you run over it. I will not hurt your horse, that would be stupid, but you might fall in there, and then I'll use a lasso to pull the lever and send you tumbling into the pit of the second L. So just don't do it. Just go to twitch.tv/JennaChill with one singular L. And if you, like me, can't get enough of Tim's beautiful, doesn't like it when I say Appalachian voice, he's voice acted on such podcasts as The Way We Haunt Now. And if you think our episode art is hella cute, it is. And it was created by KCD, who writes and illustrates a webcomic called Beside You, which you can read for free at BesideYouComic.com. May the nuts ever stick to your roof.
All right. Real quick, before we do anything else, can we all just agree that Viggo Mortensen is the horse girl that we all could aspire to be?
Yes. A million percent.
In fact, I believe Alex has said those words before. Mm-hmm. Maybe paraphrased, but basically the same thing.
I went to the future, I listened to Josh, and I agree.
Mm-hmm. Pooh.